car riddled with bullets, multiple people injured. We begin with breaking news, a major police investigation unfolding right now in Ajax. Numerous shots fired in the middle of the afternoon, closing a large area. Good evening. Shell casings and evidence markers litter the intersection of Kingston Road and Harwood Avenue.
Witnesses at the scene say several vehicles are involved with obvious signs of damage. CTV's Janice Golding is live at the scene tonight. Janice, what are you learning?
Hi, Michelle. I only arrived here about 10 minutes ago, but I have been speaking to police on my drive here, and I've also spoken to a few people who claim to be eyewitnesses. And what they tell us is that around 10 after 4 o'clock today, it sounded like the sounds of fireworks going off. And if you take a look behind us here, you can actually see a white four-door sedan that has crashed into a wall that surrounds Wild Wing here on Kingston Road. This is a very large police scene. You can see that it is blocked off along Harwood here from Mandrake Street all the way to Kingston Road. If you take a look closely at the vehicle, you will see that the back window has at least 8 bullet holes. The front passenger side window also has several bullet holes. Now, police have not confirmed who exactly was taken to hospital. Originally, we had heard that a pregnant woman had been shot. However, they will not confirm that at this time. They do say, however, that there were multiple victims and one person has been taken to a trauma scene. Media Relations is coming to the scene and they'll be giving us more details at a later date. They say this was not a police-involved shooting, so the SIU will not be involved. We do not know exactly who the gunman or gunmen were in this case or if they have anyone or any suspect information. But we can tell you that there were multiple victims taken to the hospital. We spoke to an elderly woman actually about 5-10 minutes ago, and she told us that one of the people was sitting about a half block away in front of the Tim Hortons. He had been shot on the back and there was blood coming down his back, and she said he seemed quite distressed, and she said there were also people running up and down that were quite hysterical. That's it from us here in Ajax. Now back to you.
Thank you, Janice, and we'll check back with you when you have more information. Well, we're turning next to the pandemic, and under pressure, finally a plan. The province unveiling its framework for paid sick leave during COVID-19.
The details coming more than 400 days after the declaration of Ontario's first state of emergency. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin, this isn't the only significant move from the government today.
Yeah, you know, the province's RIDA has been looking to create as much surge capacity in Ontario's hospitals as possible to deal with the influx of patients. Now they signed a new emergency order that would allow patients, chronically ill patients, to be transferred out of hospital and into a long-term care home without their consent. The third wave in Ontario might be improving ever so slightly, but case numbers are still high, and the threat to Ontario's ICUs is not subsiding.
There's a bit of a lag. We have to see the case counts come down first, and then we will see the impact in the ICUs and in hospitalization. And that time lag can be about 2 to 3 weeks.
Anticipating a growing volume of patients, the government is taking a rare step, allowing hospitals to move chronically ill patients into a long-term care home.
This would be done in only the most urgent of situations, when a hospital is at risk of becoming overwhelmed.
Doctors would first have to assess whether a patient would receive adequate care at the long-term care or retirement home before signing off. But the Minister of Health cautions it could be carried out without the patient's consent.
Every effort is going to be made to speak with the person and with their family to obtain their consent. There may be some situations, but they will be extremely rare, where a transfer might need to be made without the patient's consent.
While the government prepares for the worst, it also took steps today to avoid the worst. The Ford government will introduce legislation that would give employees 3 days of paid sick leave. Workers would receive up to $200 per day, while the employers would be reimbursed for the cost. The program would be retroactive to April 19th and last until at least September 25th, and will apply for a variety of reasons.
Self-isolation and quarantine if you have to stay home with a son or a daughter or another dependent. There's no forms, there's no applications. The employer will pay the worker and the employer will be reimbursed through the province.
The province is also looking to improve the Canada Recovery Sickness Benefit, offering to top up that program by $500 per week, which would give employees a total of $1,000 per week.
Ontario workers now have access to the most generous sick pay program coast to coast.
But that generosity comes more than a year after critics called for paid sick leave in Ontario. Some say it is not enough.
They came forward today with a back of an envelope kind of solution that's really not enough to stop the spread of COVID-19 in our workplaces.
The government says the legislation will be tabled tomorrow. The finance minister would not confirm what this new program would cost Ontario taxpayers, but sources have told me that they're projecting anywhere between $750 to $1.5 billion for paid sick leave. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Unprepared and problematic, long-term care homes in this province have been at the center of so much heartache during this pandemic.
A new report pointing to years of systematic issues that impacted the response effort amid the first outbreaks. CTV's Scott Lightfoot is live with more. Scott.
Well, Michelle, this report is from Ontario's Auditor General. Many of the issues in it are sadly not new. They have been discussed. They have been reported on before. One of them actually deals with something you heard Colin mention, the government moving people from hospitals into long-term care homes. The Auditor General said in some cases, people were moved into homes that were already at 98% capacity. That caused difficulties with crowding, a number of issues at play here, and we all know how that ended up hurting Ontario's long-term care sector.
It is another spotlight on the plight of Ontario's long-term care homes. Today, the province's Auditor General released a report suggesting that lack of pandemic preparedness, along with systemic problems involving infection control, led to tragic results in homes across Ontario.
There is no accountability. There's a slap on the wrist. There are no heavy financial penalties or revocation of licenses for bad actors. And this is part of a huge problem that has not been fixed.
Accountability, just one of the concerns in this report, which highlights a number of issues, including that long-term care homes were not required to prepare for a pandemic as part of their emergency planning, that infection prevention and control measures were not consistently practiced, understood, or inspected prior to COVID-19, that the transfer of patients from hospitals to long-term care homes contributed to crowding in those homes, that restricting family caregivers from visiting contributed to a decline in residents' mental and physical health, that a lack of space prevented homes from isolating residents with COVID-19 effectively, and that on-site inspections were paused for 2 months over concerns regarding inspector safety.
This isn't a case where, we can assume that these long-term care homes didn't know that they were doing something wrong. I think it's safe to assume they're very familiar. The administration, particularly in the for-profit industry, are very aware of what their obligations are.
Ontario's Minister of Long-Term Care said many of the issues date back to before the creation of her ministry.
I'm here to try and fix long-term care. But if the building's on fire and you're running into it to try and save people, yeah, I think that's pretty much what we tried to do. But we didn't start the fire.
The report has 16 recommendations, which the Auditor General is hopeful will be acted upon.
There's a lot of systemic issues that need to be overcome, and there's a lot of players in this field that the discussions are happening with. So I think I want to say I'm cautiously optimistic.
Another report, the final report from Ontario's Long-Term Care COVID-19 Commission, is expected to be submitted to the ministry by this Friday.
And Friday is the deadline for the commission to submit its report to the minister. It is a very highly anticipated, long-awaited report, and that report will be made public at some point after it has been submitted to the minister. As for the Auditor General's report, you can read it and more about it on our website. Reporting live in Etobicoke, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Zoraida, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. Looking at the broader COVID-19 picture across the province, Public Health Ontario is reporting 3,480 new cases in its most recent update, and that brings the total to more than 455,000 over the course of the pandemic. 24 more deaths are linked to the virus, putting that figure at 7,988, and nearly 409,000 cases are considered resolved.
Here's tonight's regional breakdown with 961 new cases in the city of Toronto and 589 in Peel region. There are 341 new cases in Niagara region, with 290 in York region and 255 in Hamilton. Durham region is logging 221 new cases with 116 in Halton. And the province notes those numbers in Niagara and Hamilton, they may be higher because of some data catch-up.
More workplaces have been ordered to close amid outbreaks of the virus.
The shutdowns prompting growing calls for a targeted vaccination approach with a focus on vulnerable workers. CTV's John Musselman is live in Mississauga tonight with more. John.
Well, that is happening in Peel region, targeted vaccines in workplaces like Maple Leaf Foods today. It hasn't happened here at the Canada Post Gateway complex, but it's something the union says is long overdue. postal workers placed a wreath outside the massive Canada Post complex in Mississauga today. It was to honor two workers who have died from COVID, one death in January, a second death at a Toronto site earlier this month. The union says more needs to be done to protect workers.
We need more cohorting. We need more social distance enforcement. We need more sanitization protocol going on. And also, we need vaccination ASAP.
We're waiting for the vaccine, because we believe that we're at the front line. We should be getting the vaccine.
90 employees from the afternoon shift were ordered to leave the workplace after Peel Public Health invoked a Section 22 order to contain the outbreak. They are self-isolating at home. Canada Post says it continues to provide voluntary on-site rapid COVID-19 testing to all employees and contractors at our Gateway facility. Any employees who test positive must leave the workplace and self-isolate. In each case, public health is notified and the union has been informed. Paid leave provisions are in place to support employees. Peel's top doctor says essential workers continue to make up a huge portion of who is ending up seriously sick in the region.
Rapid testing, screening, distancing, cohorting, these are all things that can be used to reduce risk, but they cannot fully eliminate risk. And I think that really speaks to certainly the vaccines that Mayor Brown mentioned, a consistent and steady supply.
I think the reality is when you allow an outbreak to continue, it will grow and grow and magnify into the community.
We have asked the provincial government to take a look at the essential business list. This is the time we are on stay-home lockdown. Do all these businesses need to be open at this time?
Today, more workplace vaccines were offered in Peel hotspots, including at Maple Leaf Foods, where essential workers received the shot at the Walker Drive location in Brampton. Clinic here in the parking lot. We did ask Canada Post about that, whether it was logistically possible. We still haven't got a response back. Reporting live in Mississauga, I'm John Musselman. I'll send it back to you.
Thanks, John. Meanwhile, more long lines and another day of big demand at vaccine pop-ups.
The anticipation is real for those waiting to get their shot. CTV's Austin Delaney is live with more. Austin.
Well, rain or shine, people wanted their vaccines today. There were about 1,000 up for grabs here at this pop-up, but you had to get here early. If you were lucky enough to get one, you might have been in a big downpour.
The line moved in an orderly fashion, people waiting to be vaccinated, staying socially distanced as they made their way to the front.
You guys can keep going forward.
This family arrived at 5:30 this morning.
I feel good. You know, we're moving forward one step at a time. And I'm just looking forward for this to end eventually.
The key to getting jabbed at Warden Hilltop Community Center was to get in line at this first come, first served before the sun came up.
I've been to a few places where I didn't make the lineup or someone in my family didn't. And I'm optimistic that we can make it today with 1,000 doses, but we'll see.
I just think the process was terrible. I think they really could have improved the way they've done this.
Michael and his wife complaining they had to wait 5 hours and wish they could have made an appointment online in this hot zone.
One of the things we need to do is make sure that we're making it accessible to people, whether they want to sign up online or if they want to walk in, because not everyone's able to sign up online.
But people were willing.
I'm working in a factory still, so lessens the risk for both me and my coworkers.
Some 4 hours later, we checked back with Oscar Weston, who is now near the front of the line.
Took a while to get here, but I think we'll be inside soon before the rain.
But then this happened, thunder and rain. If you had one, umbrellas popped up, others improvised.
Doing good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about this rain?
I wish it would stop soon. Yeah.
But you'll stay in the line, will you?
Yeah, just want to get it done.
Others just toughed it out. And it took about 3 hours to hand out those 1,000 Pfizer shots. There will not be a pop-up at this location tomorrow. I'm told, though, there will be another next week. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
Thank you, Austin. And across the province, more than 116,000 vaccine doses were administered yesterday. That brings Ontario's total to more than 4.9 million since the start of the rollout. And more than 365,000 people in Ontario are considered fully vaccinated, having received both required doses.
Also tonight, Vaccine Hunters Canada teaming up with Toronto. The partnership aims to make it easier to secure your shot, but also raising questions about why it's needed in the first place.
We saw downpours, thunderstorms today. Lindsay Morrison is here with a look at the current conditions. Lindsay, is this the calm before another storm?
Well, we do have more active weather on the way for tomorrow, Michelle, but it looks like tonight we are enjoying some very pleasant clearing. There's still a little bit of active weather in parts of eastern Ontario and a couple of thunderstorm cells across the extreme southwest. Nothing major. In fact, I'm expecting that this severe thunderstorm watch is going to come to an end, likely within the hour that we are broadcasting. It's mild, though, in this part of the province. Once again, 25 degrees in Windsor. Compare that to 9 in Sarnia. We are enjoying, on the other hand, a surge of late day warmth. Tonight, we're looking at a low of 9 degrees. We'll talk about that next round of wet weather coming up. For now, Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Lindsay. Two batches of COVID vaccine arrived at Pearson Airport today, nearly 1 million doses.
They're expected to be distributed to provinces next week amid ongoing uncertainty about Canada's supply. CTV's Glenn McGregor reports.
A shipment of Canada's fourth approved vaccine touched down in Toronto today. 300,000 doses of Johnson & Johnson's single-shot product.
What we're doing is as best as we can, and we've been quite successful in the coming weeks, of significantly increasing the overall number of vaccines coming to Canada. That will benefit all provinces.
Earlier today, 650,000 more doses from Moderna arrived. Fewer than previously promised, but still part of the 1.9 million total doses of all vaccine received in Canada this week. Not among the shipments, though, more doses from AstraZeneca, which are being offered to people age 40 and over in some provinces. The goal of acquiring 4.3 million AstraZeneca doses by the end of June is in jeopardy because shipments from India are being held back as the country fights its catastrophic outbreak. Today, new details emerged about the first fatality in Canada from a rare side effect linked to the AstraZeneca shot. 54-year-old Francine Boyer, a mother of two and a grandmother, died of a blood clot on Friday, 2 weeks after getting her first shot. She was one of more than 400,000 people to receive AstraZeneca in Quebec, where the pandemic has caused the cancellation of another major tourist event. The Montreal Grand Prix, scheduled for June, scrubbed for the second year in a row.
With uncertainty about the AstraZeneca supply, the Johnson & Johnson shipment comes at the right time. Canada still has 9.7 million doses of the single-shot vaccine on order, but no timeline on exactly when they'll arrive. Glenn McGregor, CTV News, Ottawa.
The Trudeau government has been asked repeatedly by Ontario and others to beef up international travel restrictions. The latest data shows that more than 2,000 people returning to Canada since mandatory hotel quarantines began tested positive for COVID-19. That's about 1% of arrivals. As of last week, 557 travelers were found to be infected with a variant of concern. That's about a quarter of those who tested positive. 518 had the strain first identified in Britain. 27 were infected with the variant first detected in South Africa. And 12 had the strain first found in Brazil.
Coming up, a Canadian veteran caught in the middle as he prepares for an interprovincial move. Why the rules mean his farm animals could be left stranded.
Well, for weeks now, Vaccine Hunters Canada has been helping people track down available appointments.
And the city is now formally asking the volunteer group to help. But critics say the move speaks to just how difficult the system is to navigate. CTV's Natalie Johnson reports.
It's everyone for themselves. It's survival of the fittest, it feels like.
Toronto resident Natalie Day finally got her vaccine at a Markham pharmacy yesterday and credits finding her first dose to Vaccine Hunters Canada, which tweeted about the opening.
I'm just happy that someone was started to do something to help us out because, you know, it is a desperate situation.
The City of Toronto announced today a partnership with Vaccine Hunters Canada, a group of volunteers who for weeks now have distilled data from dozens of parallel booking systems to help social media followers find appointments they are eligible for.
They're doing good work for the right reasons and for the sole purpose of helping people access available vaccines.
But others insist the reason this social media account gained more than 200,000 followers in the first place is because it provides compiled vaccine appointment availabilities in a straightforward way that government has failed to do.
The entire vaccine rollout has been completely convoluted. People are having a really hard time understanding where to book their appointments.
It's going to reinforce the feelings that people have that the city and the province just don't have a great grip on the vaccine rollout right now.
The government has left Ontarians playing a game of Hunger Games, just trying to figure out
how to get a vaccine.
The mayor, though, denied that the popularity of the third-party site indicated a failure of government to get the word out right.
This is a team effort, and if we work together with people like Vaccine Hunters and many, many others, we'll get more done, get more people vaccinated, and get this nightmare over with.
The city will provide Vaccine Hunters with information regarding next-day openings at its mass immunization sites that it will broadcast to its followers. The volunteer group will not be paid, saying in a statement, "Times like these call for all hands on deck, and we want to be focusing on the work at hand." Natalie Johnson, CTV News.
Meanwhile, some smaller pharmacies are calling for a larger role in the vaccine rollout.
As Ontario prepares to bring the Pfizer shot to smaller sites, there are concerns over fairness. CTV's Saran Fennell explains.
Mina Massey's pharmacy flew through its supply of AstraZeneca without a hiccup, he says.
We gave them all out.
16 Toronto area pharmacies that were successful in the AstraZeneca rollout were recommended to be part of the Pfizer pilot program that's coming soon.
We always advocate for a level playing field and to have an equitable balance and representation.
The Ontario Pharmacists Association says it received a short list of locations approved by Toronto Public Health and the Ministry of Health to choose from. From that list, the OPA made its recommendations, suggesting an even split of 8 independent and 8 corporate. Instead, pharmacists in hard-hit areas say public health chose 4 independent and 12 corporate, such as Loblaw.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense that we just take away the independents after all the hard work and the good job that they've been doing.
I got another call saying that our store got dropped from the list.
Appointments were already booked.
We have to call everyone now to cancel, and they get so upset, and it's not fair to be pulled out from us.
Primary care doctors also feeling left out.
So it is really puzzling. We've been advocating for it for many months. I can only think that maybe it relates to relationships and the relationships of the decision makers to potentially our pharmacy, who's running pharmacies.
While some wait for an even playing field, they all agree the common goal is to inoculate as many people as possible.
I may have lost money on vaccine rollout, but it's about my patients. It's about the people that I know. I know their kids. I know their grandkids.
We are so happy when we vaccinate people. They trust us.
After the 2-week pilot, the rollout will eventually broaden. CTV News has contacted the province for clarification on how the locations were chosen. The Ontario Pharmacists Association says there are still 1,000 pharmacies across Ontario that are eager to take part in the vaccine rollout. They're waiting in a queue. Now it's just about supply. Saran Fennell, CTV News.
We've heard a lot about the wait for vaccines, but what about testing, specifically those who are asymptomatic?
The search for some peace of mind, potentially tougher than some might expect. CTV's Beth McDonnell has that story.
A year into the pandemic, getting a free COVID-19 test if you're asymptomatic for peace of mind can be cumbersome. I set out on my own journey. First up, the Ontario government website. It says pharmacies can test certain people without symptoms. One told me I could pay for an asymptomatic test.
For peace of mind?
Yes.
We can do a private test for you, yes. So it's $185 plus tax.
Oh, okay. And what kind of test is it?
It's a PCR test.
Another didn't think I was the right fit.
Do you happen to work in like a long-term care home, retirement home, senior center?
No.
No, do you work in like a school setting? So like a school board member, school teacher?
No. Turns out there's provincial criteria for pharmacies to give asymptomatic tests, among them homeless shelter workers, international students, and farm workers. The Ministry of Health says only those who are at high risk or targeted testing groups should be considered.
Yep.
But then this pharmacy offered me a number for what it called an assessment center. When I called there, it suggested a testing site out of my area in Thorncliffe Park. I decided to check it out. Here I am, 45 Overly Boulevard. There's no line. I just talked to the healthcare workers and they say yes, they do asymptomatic testing, even if it's just for peace of mind. Contrast my experience with information on Nova Scotia's website. Asymptomatic testing is encouraged. People who want a test answer a few questions and can book an appointment. On the other side of the country, though, the BC Centre for Disease Control says asymptomatic testing is not generally recommended. Back at the testing site, I learned Michael Guerin Hospital runs half a dozen others in East Toronto, which operate drop-ins. Beth McDonnell, CTV News.
Next, to the Ontario veteran planning to move both his family and hobby farm to New Brunswick. But some COVID restrictions are getting in the way.
As CTV's John Woodward reports, he's now scrambling to find a home for horses, goats and chickens that the quarantine hotels won't take.
If I'm having a stressful day, he comes right in.
That's Matthew Ricard with one of his horses among dozens of animals in his hobby farm near Owen Sound.
These animals are a big part of my life. They, you know, I went from never leaving the house to going out and having activities again because of them.
Ricard's 13 years in the Canadian Forces ended with a tour in Afghanistan. An IED blast fractured his spine and he came home with PTSD. This farm helps him cope.
The kids learn where our milk comes from and where our food comes from. You know, we harvest our eggs every day.
It's been their plan to move everything to a 100-acre farm in New Brunswick on Sunday. But a surge in COVID cases in that province has resulted in new measures at the border.
Every person approved to move to New Brunswick will be required to isolate for at least the first 7 days of their 14-day isolation in an isolation hotel at their own expense.
Ricard is happy to isolate, but COVID hotels like the Hyatt in Moncton don't take animals.
Horse, sheep, something like that is not something possible in the hotel.
You know, we're confused as to we're leaving an isolated spot, going to another an even more isolated spot. And so we don't understand why we can't just go to our farm and do our quarantine there.
New Brunswick has exceptions for students, truckers, and commuters, but there doesn't seem to be one matching moving an entire farm. Agricultural organizations say they're still examining the new rules.
Right now, we don't really have much of a plan other than we're going to show up at the border and see what happens.
With the sale of this land closing Sunday, they can't stay here. John Woodward, CTV News.
Still ahead, preparing for patio season, moving forward with plans to enhance outdoor dining despite uncertainty when it comes to when those restaurants will be allowed to reopen.
Tonight, Pat Foran coming up on Consumer Alert. During the pandemic, many people have been shopping online. A Scarborough man was surprised when he ordered AirPods to help him work from home, but instead he was sent a hockey jersey. Months later, he's still trying to get a refund. We check it out. That's just ahead.
A couple of rounds of storms over the last few days. Jacqueline shared this photo from the Kawartha Lakes of an ominous-looking sky, and Ken captured the rain approaching the Brighton area just ahead of that active weather. Thank you to everyone for sharing your weather photos with us on social media. Now, this is what it looked like downtown Toronto this morning as that line of storms rolled through the skyline, virtually disappearing under that heavy burst of rain. There was thunder and lightning, too. Tomorrow, we're looking at another round of wet weather, courtesy of a low pressure system. We'll give you an idea of when to expect it and how much rain could fall coming up here on CTV News. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Online shopping has more than doubled during this pandemic. And today, Shopify announced record profits, saying the shift to e-commerce is here to stay.
With so many people shopping online, mistakes are bound to happen. But what if you ordered something and the wrong item does show up? Pat Foran has one viewer story on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Hi, dudes. Right, Michelle. A Scarborough man has been working from home due to the pandemic and ordered earbuds for his home office. He was surprised when a hockey jersey arrived. And for the past 2 months, he's been trying to convince the company they made a mistake. Many people are working from home and shopping online, like Andrew McKenzie of Scarborough. He decided to upgrade his earbuds and buy the Apple AirPods Pro with a wireless case for $329 plus tax. There was a shipping delay, but a package arrived 2 weeks later.
I opened up the box and it just wasn't AirPods. It was a reverse retro Hartford Whalers jersey.
McKenzie said not only was he hoping for the AirPods, he wasn't that interested in the jersey.
If I lived in Hartford, maybe, or if I lived in Carolina, but I'm a diehard Leaf guy, so wrong shirt, wrong guy.
Feeling it was an obvious mistake, he contacted the company to tell them what happened.
With all this online ordering, nobody gets everything perfect, so it's a quick call to customer service.
When McKenzie called the store, they told him to return the hockey sweater, but weeks later they sent it back to him and told him the investigation was over. He's been dealing with the issue for over 2 months and has no AirPods, no refund, and a jersey he doesn't want or need.
At this point, I would just want it to go back to zero like we never did the order.
McKenzie made the order through SportCheck. When CTV News reached out to the company, it agreed to look into the matter. A spokesperson told us, Mr. McKenzie's experience was the
result of human error and took us longer than expected to resolve. We have reached out to him directly to apologize and have resolved the matter to his satisfaction. That was great news for Mackenzie, who got a refund along with a gift card for his trouble.
I can't thank you guys enough. The last bit of humor in all this, they said, listen, we don't even want the shirt back. So my 13-year-old son is wearing a Hartford Oilers shirt around the house because it was the only person in that house that could fit.
It is a nice-looking jersey. Still, if you order something online and get the wrong product, you should contact the company immediately. Be sure to keep all receipts, packaging, and paperwork. And taking photos of the incorrect item can also help. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
It's a springtime rite of passage. Midges, those tiny swarming insects, have returned to the GTA with a vengeance.
While they aren't dangerous, they're a major nuisance. And once upon a time, they even caused a Blue Jays game to be postponed. Multimedia journalist Corey Baird has more.
They're not really trying to swarm you. You just happen to be there.
They're so annoying.
They are. Yes. They're really annoying.
They are. We don't want to go in our backyard because of them.
The midges that we're seeing right now are non-biting midges. Every year around this time, we get a big, big swarm. Their larvae are aquatic, so they live in the water, or they go through complete metamorphosis, and then they become adults. And so right now, you're seeing the adults all swarming at once, looking for a mate.
They fly around like our heads a lot when we're playing. There's a lot of them at some times.
Milwaukee pitcher Teddy Higuera looked like he was conducting a silent orchestra on the mound last night at the Sky Dome.
Felix has stepped off first base. This game's just coming apart.
The experts say the dome acted like a giant porch light last night, attracting the infestation.
They're trying to find a mate. They don't live for very long. They don't last for I think, more than a week or something like that. So they need to find a mate fast. They're a really important part of our freshwater ecosystems. They are part of the food chain. Not just fish, but even other aquatic insects will feed on these very tiny larvae. They're not a danger to anyone. It's more of a nuisance.
Annoying, frustrating.
I don't want to say it's a good thing, but right now we're kind of all wearing masks pretty much anywhere that we go. So it's probably a good thing because it's going to protect you from inhaling them. But, you know, we're going to put up with them for a little while and then they'll be gone.
Okay, I don't know if midges like the rain, but it was pouring this afternoon. I got caught in the downpour, Lindsay.
And you wouldn't know it, though. Look at the DVP behind us. Gorgeous, Lindsay.
Yeah, we had a wonderful clearing pattern through this afternoon, and now we're getting some late-day heat. It is currently 20 degrees in the city of Hamilton, and we're at 17 here in Toronto. So a little bit of a glow-up compared to earlier in the day. Just don't get too used to it. Weather is brought to you by Trane. For home comfort, cooling, and clean air, it is hard to stop a train. This afternoon, we continued to track showers and a couple of thunder showers in eastern Ontario. Those two are tapering off, so too is the activity around the Niagara region, but there's another low pressure system waiting in the wings. This one is going to bring us likely another round of rain tomorrow. It's not looking like an all-day washout by any means. In fact, this one is going to take its time getting here, but it has the potential to bring us a couple of millimeters of fresh rainfall. Through the morning, just along the shores of Lake Erie, that's where you can expect the rain. For us in the GTA, this is more likely looking to be an afternoon situation, and then conditions improve into the overnight. Look what could happen Friday morning for areas well north of Toronto and at a higher elevation. It's possible that conditions could be cool enough for, yes, maybe a little bit of snow or at the very least some mixing, not looking at anything too significant here. And then finally, we're going to get some clearing out for the day on Saturday, something to look forward to. Winds right now, they're coming in all different directions depending on where you are in the province. But they're not overly strong. Tonight's low in Toronto is going to be decently mild. 9 degrees is what we're calling for, but then we really don't warm up all that much tomorrow. And southwestern Ontario this time around, not going to be feeling all that summer-like. In fact, we're all going to be hovering around 10, 11 degrees here in the greater Toronto area. Similar situation in through eastern sections of the province. And again, while not a washout, a good idea to keep that umbrella handy for tomorrow with showers in the forecast. Just a 40% chance of showers on Friday for
for us, but it is going to be cool at 8 degrees. Saturday's looking like a great day as we welcome May. Sunday, we return to more in the way of wet weather, and it looks like we're going to be unsettled through the early part of next week with some milder temperatures in store as well. That's your weather for now. CTV News, we'll be right back.
Waterloo scientists are developing a new rapid test for COVID-19.
And it promises to be cheap, easy, and better for the environment. Here's our health reporter, Pauline Chan, with the details.
One of the biggest complaints about current COVID tests is that they are extremely uncomfortable and hard to repeat frequently.
What we realized that saliva could be a very good testing fluid.
Professor Sushanta Mitra and his team at the University of Waterloo are developing a 20-minute environmentally friendly test for COVID-19.
It's almost similar to a pregnancy test kit. So you essentially need a drop of saliva, which then on a paper strip.
The spot will turn red if the sample is COVID positive, and it has about a 90% accuracy. And while other rapid tests have been developed, most still require the use of a special machine to read the results. Professor Mitra says this test can be done at home, in schools, or at large gatherings.
Concert hall, large crowd, they get in the holding area, do a rapid test within 20 minutes. They get a clearance. Okay, now you're ready to go inside.
The use of a paper strip means it's a cheap test with relatively little environmental waste. There's still some lab work to be done, but they are lining up industrial partners, and they hope to have the kit ready for market in 6 months. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
He's a billionaire businessman and one of the next hosts of Saturday Night Live.
But as CTV's Andrea Case reports, not all of his future castmates are applauding the announcement.
Elon Musk is best known as the eccentric billionaire behind SpaceX rocket technology and Tesla automobile. Not known for his comedic chops, he will host Saturday Night Live May 8th. The response hasn't been a ringing endorsement from some cast members.
That doesn't sound fun at all.
Featured player Andrew Dismukes posted, "Only CEO I want to do a sketch with is Cherry O'Terry." In response to the news, Musk posted, "Let's find out just how live Saturday Night Live really is," with a devil face emoji. Cast member Bowen Yang responded, "What the expletive does this even mean?" Cast member A.D. Bryant reposted an old message by Bernie Sanders, which spoke about the obscene wealth of America's richest people. At a net worth of $181 billion, Musk is second behind Amazon's Jeff Bezos.
"Part of the reason I'm here is that I know how to take a joke."
The last time Saturday Night Live was hosted by someone who is neither a celebrity or a sports star was Donald Trump in his run-up to the election. Musk is a controversial choice and previously a COVID denier. He's since changed his mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miley Cyrus!
SNL won't have to rely on him if his acting isn't award-winning. The night's musical guest is Miley Cyrus, who has hosted and or performed on the show three times before. Andrea Case, CTV News.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
Returning now to our top story, CTV's Janice Golding is live on the scene of a shooting in Ajax. Durham police saying there are multiple victims. Janice, what's the latest?
Hi, S. We just got an update from police about 5 minutes ago. We are standing on Harwood Avenue near Kingston Road, and that is where a shootout between two vehicles apparently took place. Police say they've located about 40 shell casings. If you take a look behind us here, you'll see a white sedan. That was one of the vehicles that was involved in this shootout. There was also another vehicle which has fled the scene. We are told that the two occupants of the white vehicle have been taken to a trauma center with life-threatening injuries. Apparently, a male victim made his way over to the Tim Hortons, which is about half a block away, and he was located with gunshot wounds to his back. He was an occupant of this vehicle. Police say this was not a random attack or a random shooting. These people were firing upon one another. They do not know exactly what sparked this attack, however. They are looking for some people. We have heard from eyewitnesses in the area that they saw two people take off on foot, but police say they don't know if they were involved in the shooting or if they were just witnesses that were frightened and ran away. We do have some clips now from Acting Sergeant George Tudos as well as some witnesses. Take a look.
We also located two parties inside that vehicle, a male and a female. Both of those parties suffered gunshot wounds. They were both taken to a trauma center in Toronto with life-threatening injuries, and it's believed that the suspect vehicle fled from the scene, so we're still actively looking for a suspect vehicle.
And I was walking up. I wanted to go to Tim Hortons, and there was this man who'd been shot, and there was blood all down his back. And I don't know how many squad cars. And it was just, it was chaotic. It was really chaotic.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, these things happen in the city all the time, but they're just a town, you know what I mean? And being a young man, like, it don't make me feel safe in my own backyard.
Honestly, I didn't think something around here would have ever happened, but that's crazy. I didn't think it would ever happen.
Police say it is a miracle nobody else was shot in the area because it's a very busy artery. It's one of the main intersections here in Ajax. They are still on scene investigating and looking for surveillance video. We'll have more for you tonight at 11:30. Reporting live, I'm Janice Golding. Now back to Michelle and Zoraida.
Thank you, Janice. And don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you have a news tip, photos or video of breaking news, let us know. One of the big stories of the day, the provincial government now releasing the first details of its plan to for paid sick leave during COVID-19.
Yeah, it's something many essential workers have been waiting for, and that is the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're now joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Rashmi Nair. So, Nick, you'll be getting reaction from the government along with doctors, business leaders and opposition parties.
Lots of it, Zoraida. We've got the Finance Minister, Peter Bethenfalvy, kicking off our program tonight. Plus, we've got the opposition leaders. And as you mentioned, the doctors panel, a business panel, all kinds of people talking about the paid sick days. Good, bad, we'll have the answers.
Mm-hmm. And Rashmi, you'll also be getting reaction to the Auditor General's special report into long-term care.
Yes, it wasn't a slow news day, Michelle. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear from advocates who have been campaigning and lobbying for changes in long-term care here in Ontario and across the country, really. We also asked for Minister Marilee Fullerton, but she wasn't available to join us on CP24 tonight. You're going to hear from the other side coming up in just an hour.
Lots to dig into. Thank you, Nick and Rashmi.
Thanks.
CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar was up to 81.21 US. American benchmark oil also gained to close at 63.86 a barrel. And the TSX Composite Index gained 182 points to close at 19,357. For restaurants, it's a glimmer of hope. The city of Toronto pushing ahead for plans for outdoor dining.
But with lockdowns still in effect, uncertainty remains. CTV's Mike Walker reports.
At the Beaches Brewing Company, the kitchen has been closed since November. And with the current stay-at-home order, there is no guarantee when it will reopen.
You don't really have any idea when, and the rules change every month or two.
Despite provincial measures restricting outdoor dining, the city announcing today it will be moving forward with curb lane installations for the Cafe TO program on May 8th as originally planned.
This will ensure that when public health orders permit, restaurant and bar operators will be ready to maximize the patio season, and there will be no delay in getting the Cafe TO installations up and running.
The mayor says this comes after careful consideration with public health and restaurant owners. Cafe TO supported nearly 900 restaurants and bars last year, the demand even greater this year. City staff currently reviewing applications for 720 curb lane cafes and 71 public parklet locations. More than 300 sidewalk cafes have already been approved. Pratt is waiting for his application to be approved. He says the head start by the city is promising.
I don't know what to expect, but we'll at least have more warning than last year.
Providing some hope at a time when there is no guarantee when outdoor dining will be allowed again. The stay-at-home order is in effect until at least May 19th. The city had initially targeted the May long weekend for some patios to open.
If they're like installing it, that's kind of a good sign. As a business point of view, we need it. But again, like, it's a bad situation right now happening everywhere.
Until dining is allowed, restaurant owners and managers can only hope the weeks ahead will be in their favor.
And this is the only real thing that we can do, is prep for all the scenarios.
And that restrictions will eventually ease. Mike Walker, CTV News.
After the break, celebrating the performing arts online and supporting artists still waiting for a safe return.
Coming up on CP24 tonight.
flaws in the system. How do we fix the problems in long-term care homes? And paid sick leave. What the province's latest announcement means for workers. A closer look at today's top stories tonight at 7 on CP24.
Time now for Toronto Together and an opportunity to celebrate the performing arts.
This week's event recognizes those who can't currently take the stage but are still moving until they can safely return. International Dance Day is tomorrow, and Dance Ontario is using the occasion to kick off a four-day virtual dance weekend. It'll showcase performers, choreographers, and filmmakers from across the province, with more than 30 artists taking part.
It's not like the artists have stopped working. They're still creating, they're still doing their thing, and they really do want to share it.
Those interested can register online. There's also a recommended donation of $50, and that money will go toward artists and services to support them.
Let's have a look at the weather. How's the evening air?
Evening's looking pretty good around the GTA. Again, we had a fair amount of clearing through the afternoon today. We're still tracking a couple of cells around extreme southwest Ontario, but nothing major at this point. There is still a severe thunderstorm watch in effect, but that will gradually come to an end tonight. Next 24 hours, we do have potential for a couple of showers as we make our way into the day tomorrow. But at this point, it's looking as though the morning will be a little bit drier than the afternoon. Friday, a 40% chance of showers, bit of a cooler day. Improvements as we make our way into Saturday, and it's overall a pretty unsettled forecast as we make our way into the month of May. That's your weather for now. Michelle and Zoraida, back to you.
May already. Thank you, Lindsay, and be sure to join Zoraida later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a great night.
We'll see you at 11:30.